There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started with tonight's episode of Benched with Bubba, I got a few sponsors to talk to you about here. And first, thequantedge.com, a great new fantasy site for DFS. They just added basketball to their platform. They have NFL, MMA, and they have so much more coming up. Are you getting tired of getting crushed by the pros? DFS players, sports bettors, listen up. Thequantedge.com has the tools you need to play like a pro. Winner lineup optimizer, injury tool, wide receiver, cornerback matchups, and head-to-head tools. You'll be armed with everything you need to win. Make up to 150 lineups in seconds. See matchups to exploit and compare players to help you make the right decisions you're on the fence about at thequantedge.com. You get exclusive access to industry experts, articles, podcasts, and the TQE community by participating in the premium membership chat. We at Benched with Bubba have a special deal for our loyal listeners. Using promo code BENCHED, you'll get 10% off the season-long subscription, but you have to act fast. You can also get 10% off your first month at thequantedge.com. If you buy the monthly package, you get all the sports included. So if you go by month to month, you get all the sports. So go check it out. Use promo code BENCHED for 10% off a monthly package. Also, I want to talk to you about Draft. Draft.com. Draft in your app store is a great way to play fantasy sports. They do snake-style drafts just the way you like them. They've added auction formats as well. So much fun stuff at Draft. NBA just kicked off on Tuesday. You got NFL, of course. You got PGA. You got MLB's winding down. You got hockey. So much going on over at Draft.com. Use promo code SDSports when you check out, and you'll get entry into a free $3 tournament of your choice. So go to Draft.com, draft in your app store. Use promo code SDSports for entry into a free $3 tournament of your choice. Last but not least, if you can give us a rating and review over on iTunes, it'd be much, much appreciated. Help move the podcast along even more than you guys already have. With that being said, welcome to Bench with Bubba, episode 127, with Casey Kasem of Fighting Chance Fantasy recapping the NFL Week 6 action and looking ahead a little bit to NFL Week 7. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 127. Going to recap the Week 6 NFL action and talk a little bit about Week 7 along the way. In order to do so is another friend from Fighting Chance Fantasy. We seem to have a lot of them on these days. There's a lot of good people over there. So I wanted to have her on, and we made it work out. You can find her on Twitter at the Casey Kasem. That's with a K and a K, not the pop icon. But Casey, how are we doing?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thanks.
Thanks. I bet you've never heard that one before. Sorry.
Never, ever. That's pretty much why my name is the way it is. It's not my real name, so, you know, a nickname sticks, and you just go with it.
I was wondering. I was like, wow, did you really get called Casey, like, named Casey Kasem with two Ks? That's impressive.
Can you imagine what my parents were thinking if they named me that? No.
They must have had quite the adventurous time of their life. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, right.
But hey, more power to them. A couple questions before we get started. Kind of This is the first year I've gotten to know you on the Twitter sphere. What kind of brought you to the whole fantasy football world? What do you got going on? I know you had a bunch of side projects. You're on podcasts every week. What's your whole kind of background?
Well, I've been doing fantasy football for about 7 years now. Just kind of like in the Twitter community when it comes to talking about fantasy football, but never really was active in like podcasting or writing or any of that stuff. But Ryan with Fighting Chance Fantasy hit me up one day and was just like, "Hey, have you ever been interested in doing something like that?" And I was like, sure. I mean, I'm not really, but yeah, I will take a stab at it. So, you know, he said it'd be cool. You know, I could do what I want and have fun with it. And kind of just kept rolling from there. And now here I am.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's how it all begins. You just got to have that chance to go do it. And you'll never know till you try. And it's a ton of fun talking sports. So, and it's a good community we have out there, even though Twitter can be a cesspool at times. It is a really good community. So,
yeah, I mean, for the most part, everybody's cool. So just keep it up, guys. We'll be good.
Yeah, no, and most people on this show, if they bug you, just send them my way. I'll take care of them. Let's get into some Week 6 action. We'll hop around. We'll start off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, the talk of the town, and I bit on it for a little bit. After the bye week, you know, Ronald Jones was supposed to get the gig. And it's Peyton Barber's, and he outsnapped him 41-17, I believe, 41-12. It was pretty bad. Do you believe this is a one-week thing? Should we give up on Ronald Jones, or are we kind of just in a mess?
Man, you know, it's a mess right now. Yeah, I was biting onto the whole Ronald Jones thing, too. He was available in some of my leagues. People had dropped him in and stuff like that. So I picked him up, you know, got as many shares of him as I could, you know, if he was out there, if I had the spot. And then that happens with Peyton Barber, and I'm like, really? Like, could it not go my way? At least I didn't start Ronald Jones, but it was just one of those situations where you're like, this is another one of those situations with which running back is going to be the guy. Like, too many of those this year.
Yeah, I was like, I think it was like Sunday afternoon. I'm sitting there, and it's in between the end of the late games and getting into Sunday Night Football. And just going through the box scores, and, you know, eventually one way or another, we're going to hit most of them today. But it's like the landscape of the running back position, and we all know it's bad, and there's like the elite five or six or whatever. But this past week alone was just so, like, pound your head against the wall. We'll get to Rashad Penny just out of nowhere, gets all kinds of loads. We didn't even know about the Niners at the time. What the heck was that, bringing a special team back, like eight carries? It was just it's a wild, wild landscape that we'll definitely get into. But yeah, Ronald Jones got me good in my home league that I'm the defending champion and I'm tied for third and I was facing the second place team. I feel like I'm doing good. I had Ronald Jones and I survived it, I thought, until Tyreek Hill went nuts on Sunday night. But yeah, I had Alex Collins on the bench for Ronald Jones, so that sucked. That sucked a lot. Let's go to the tight end position for the Tampa Bay Bucks. OJ Howard, like a week ago, was going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks with a massive injury. Everybody get your Cameron Brate going. And then he started practicing this week. And then questionable became game time decision. And they both got touchdowns this week, but it seems OJ is good to go. So are we giving up on Brate already?
I'm not giving up on Brate already. I think that they can both be effective in that offense. Winston likes, you know, his tight ends. He had a good connection with Brate last year, so I don't see why that couldn't be the case going forward. I do like OJ Howard a little bit better than I like Cameron Brate, but I did a streaming article earlier today on tight ends, and I had both of them in the article because I feel like they're both putting up at least decent numbers. With the way the tight end landscape is right now, you kind of just have to like take what you're given, and both those guys have put up points, so why not?
Yeah, I don't hate that because, you know, they're not going to both score touchdowns every week, but in the landscape it is, especially in the PPR league, there's chances they both could double digit a lot of weeks just based on volume alone, like you're saying. And Winston, unlike Fitzpatrick looks more downfield and like to his big play guys, where you're right. Winston likes that kind of safety valve, the, you know, the 8 to 12 yard type target situation there. That could be interesting. And Brate was his guy. So. Mm-hmm. That'll be a very interesting to keep in mind. And yes, the tight end position, I was doing waiver wire stuff before we started recording, and I clicked on one league that has rather deep benches, which kind of stinks for waiver wire use. But I clicked on tight end just out of curiosity, and I clicked the defense really quick because it was just like, what the heck? What is going on here?
I have been racking my brain because I do the tight end streamers every week, and every week I feel like I give the wrong advice on that because it's like a crapshoot. You don't know. You flip a coin. So I try to like at least say, look, based on past experiences, both these guys can get you points. So try.
Yeah. Like, in reality, week 8 or 7, or it's week 7 now. Like, really, if there's anybody out there that it's not because of a random injury that just popped up, I want to join your league. Let me know where the sign up form is. So that's pretty crazy. Let's go to the Atlanta Falcons. News broke today, and it really made me angry. really made me angry because I took a draft pick on this guy. But Devontae Freeman, who, you know, we knew he was hurt, but it seemed like all reports were he was going to play. Then he's hurt a little bit. It's not that serious. Apparently, it is darn serious because he's out for the rest of the year. He's on the IR. And we already had a question after this weekend of Tevin Coleman versus Ito Smith. Tevin Coleman outsnapped him, but not by a ton. It was almost neck and neck. Ito Smith's getting a lot of the red zone love. Now that Freeman's completely out of the picture and it's just those two, how are you evaluating Atlanta? And if you are looking at Ito Smith, how do you prioritize him in Fab this week? Because I've seen anywhere between he's must-add, go all in. I've seen, okay, he's good, but don't go crazy.
Yeah, I really like Ito Smith. I was suggesting him last week, grab him now, because if he's out there, get him. And he's still out there in a lot of leagues. He's probably going to be one of the number one guys that people are going after this week. So you're going to want to probably spend more money than you'd like to on a guy that's quote unquote the second running back in an offense. But yeah, I wouldn't go too crazy with it, but I put in a good portion of my fab.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Do you foresee, because it was always weird when it was just Freeman and Coleman, like Coleman got his, but Freeman was still that clear number one, at least the way in this era we can consider a number one. But, you know, when Freeman's been out, these guys, like I said last week, are almost neck and neck.
Yeah.
Do you see now where they can kind of game plan for no Freeman, that Coleman takes more of the old Freeman role? Or we don't know, but do you think it will stay kind of neck and neck?
Yeah, I think they are going to keep it the way that it is because it's working for those guys. The game plan, yeah, maybe they'll change it a little bit, but I really feel like they're both going to put up the same amount of numbers that they put every week, and can't really go wrong choosing one over the other because I think that their numbers are going to be similar going forward.
Yeah, no, I can see that for sure. And there'll be weeks where you get frustrated because the other guy has his big week or whatever. That's just like we keep saying, and it gets repetitive, but it's true. It's just the landscape that we're in these days. But let's go to Cleveland Browns, where this is a mess. And anywhere you look, and I know I saw you're coming up on our boy Debo's podcast here in the coming days, and he's been raving about the Browns schedule for a couple weeks now, and there's no reason not to. It's the most ideal thing for like 4 or 5 weeks now. And, you know, Streeter gets injured over the weekend. Landry's been kind of lost since Baker took over. You got Antonio Callaway, who just can't catch a football, but they keep throwing it his way. You got a thing called a Damian Ratley. Never heard of him until Sunday. He went off. Like, had a really good game.
Yeah.
I thought he almost died at the goal line on one catch, but he got up and walked away. And then Rashard Higgins is actually coming back maybe in another week or so. And Baker liked him in the one or two games they played. How do you look at the situation? Because Callaway is likely not available, but these other two, Higgins and Radley, are definitely available out there in phenomenal matchups.
Yeah, I would probably take a flyer on Higgins. Just because, like you said, Baker seemed to have a connection with him prior to the injury. It all depends on that team. There's so many teams that are like this where it's just like, every week it's something new. You get this guy, Ratley, like you said, that nobody's ever heard of, who's coming in and, you know, goes crazy. If you're deep, deep, deep bench, maybe take a flyer on Ratley as well. It all depends on your league setup, but I'd probably just hold on to Higgins. I don't even know if you have to get him right now, but somebody to keep an eye on at least.
Yeah, the way I treat a guy like Higgins just because he's hurt is don't go out there on the fab. Like, wait till your fab's over to get the free agent pickups. Like, grab him at the end of the week when your lineup's set and you're like, okay, this guy might not be important to me, or hey, he's kind of a wishy-washy guy in my lineup. He's going to have a bye week. Okay, I can drop him for a Higgins. Stuff like that. But it's interesting because I just have this weird feeling, and I don't want to pick up Ratley anywhere. I just have this weird feeling he's going to have another big week just because that's what happens, and he's got a phenomenal matchup. So here it comes. And it was weird.
So hard.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I was looking at the airyards.com earlier today, kind of just going over each team real quickly to see how the distribution kind of went out. And between Landry, Callaway, and Ratley, they almost got the same amount of targets. They were all just like within one or two of each other. They spread it out perfectly, but yeah, tilting.
And Ratley might be one of those guys that doesn't get picked up this week either just because of how many wide receivers there are that are out there that have been putting up good numbers. Maybe you give him an extra week just to see how things go and then determine whether or not you really want to take a flyer on him or not.
Yeah, I like that. Just because if he's got a starting role in this offense that is going to spread it out, he at least has to be on the radar, I'd say. Seattle Seahawks. Now, this was fun because I finally got to see my pick, Doug Baldwin, do something. But that's 1 week. I'll hold my breath for a later date and time. The real question is the backfield situation where it seemed like Chris Carson was the lead guy with Mike Davis getting a heavy workload. Carson still got his. He had a touchdown called back because of a false start. But the real story, and more so in the second half of that game, Rashad Penny got in and did very, very well. Are we thinking maybe finally the second round pick has his time to shine?
Maybe that's one. That's I mean, maybe, kind of, sort of. We don't really know. All I know is my girlfriend drafted him in one of our leagues because our dog's name is Penny. That's why she drafted him, and she grabbed him, and now she's mad at me because I told her that, like, hey, I don't really think he's like. There's too many guys there to feed them all. And so there's that. It's going to be one of those frustrating situations all year where you're like, Mike Davis. I had Mike Davis like in so many spots because whatever, a couple of games here, a couple of games there, sprinkle it in here, sprinkle it in here. And that's just how it's been since Lynch left. It's just such a toss up as to who's going to be the guy. Hopefully Penny can get, you know, they spent that, you know, that draft capital on him. Hopefully they can actually use him like they should. So we'll see, I guess.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. It's like you put a second round pick out there. You think you're going to want to utilize him instead of just saying, screw it, it's a lost cause halfway through a season. Because we've taught, like, people have documented how valuable draft picks are in the NFL. And to waste one so fast would be crazy. Pete Carroll may not care, though. He's pretty much got 1 foot out the door already, and he's looking for a bubblegum deal. I have no idea. So you think it's Rashad Penny, and he's actually out there on a lot of waiver wires right now. So
yeah, he's out there. You know, a lot of people dropped him. A lot of people just didn't draft him at all. So
yeah, definitely someone to keep an
eye
on.
Get him while you can.
Exactly. I mentioned this guy last week on the pod, David Moore. It's kind of interesting because, you know, last week came out of nowhere, but then again, he gets targeted a few times this week. It's another touchdown. Doug Baldwin, yes, got it in this week. Tyler Lockett got in. So David Moore's like the number three. Is that just not enough to be interested in him? Because he's still out there on a ton of waiver wires.
I think the problem is that there are so many, like I was saying earlier, so many guys on the waiver wires that are worth taking a shot at that he isn't a high priority in that situation unless you're really desperate or, you know, your bye week, you have like half your team that's on by and you need a wide receiver plug in, then I mean, yeah, he's probably worth at least a flex consideration. But I don't know, with Baldwin actually doing something last week, thank God. I don't know, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's there's just so many of these guys.
Yeah, so many pieces of the puzzle to figure out. So it will be interesting there. Let's go to the Indianapolis Colts, to another team that spreads it all over the place. Another fun backfield. Marlon Mack is back, and he just carried the load. I figured, you know, he'd do his thing. Hines would be out of the receiving role. Hines was there barely, if you want to call it that. Wilkins is gone. Turpin got hurt, which helps. So do we think Marlon Mack's the guy now, or just maybe another one-week sample where you just have no clue what's going on?
Well, I feel like it's just going to be repetitive over and over when it comes to this kind of stuff. But I feel like at the beginning they wanted him to be that guy. So it could be that case where they're like, okay, let's do what we wanted to do originally anyway. You know, that screwed me over this week because then have him, you know, I was like, Hines, let's put him in my lineup because bye weeks and why not? I really like Jordan Wilkins. Rest in peace to my love for that because that wasn't a thing. But yeah, I think they want to get him more involved and they want him to be the guy, but it just scares me because, again, Indianapolis Colts are that same kind of team where they have so many different options. Let's see who we're going to pick this week.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying there. I think Mack is the guy they wanted all along. I think Hines was supposed to kind of be that change of pace receiving guy possibly. So I do think they'll try to stick it out with Mack. They can't have Andrew Luck continue to throw the ball this much. It's just not healthy for anyone, especially mm-hmm. a guy that apparently can't throw the ball really 40 yards down the field. So something's still not all right there.
Nope.
I could see Mack getting you 15 to 20 carries almost every week, as long as given Turbin needs to stay out of the way. But I think that's a big factor, and we'll get to see that because Hines isn't built for that workload, at least carrying the ball. So I think Mack's out of a lot of these guys we'll talk about, I think Mack is a very, very interesting pickup this week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of indie receiving options. You know, you could talk about Pascal, who actually had a lot of targets this week and a lot of air yards, if you believe in that kind of stuff. Obviously, Chester Rogers is the name of the day with anybody. Is there anything else you're really looking at there in Indianapolis on what could possibly be on the free agent wire?
I mean, Chester Rogers is probably the guy that me plus a million other guys and gals have their eyes on if they don't already have them on their team. It's all these teams you're talking about right now. It's just so crazy with how many guys and how what's going on. I know Ebron has been a guy. He's actually available in a little bit of leagues, which is crazy to me. So if he is available, I'd pick him up. But Andrew Luck is just getting it to the guy who he can get it to. You know, like we were talking about the whole, he doesn't need to be throwing it as much. And some of these guys that, you know, no name guys because T.Y. Hilton's out, they're getting the chance to step up and have that opportunity. Both the guys you stated, I can see having those games, those big games. It's just boom or bust. Like, you put him in your lineup and he's going to give you 2 points, and then you take him out and he's going to get you 15, 20 points on your bench. So just the law of fantasy football. So,
yeah, especially in this world, because, you know, like you said, we keep talking about it, there's so many of these guys and there's so many options. And it's like, if you have the number ones on these teams, you're good to mm-hmm. go. But then after number ones, it's like such a mess. And then in some teams we talked about, there really isn't a clear number one. Like, the Colts don't have a clear number one. It's like maybe Eric Ebron's their number one. Like, they're
looking like it right now.
Yeah, so it is going to be one of those weeks. You just kind of play it as it goes and cross your fingers. New York Jets, they do have a very interesting receiver situation now. Quincy Enunwa's going to probably be out at least 3 to 4 weeks with his high ankle sprain. Re-enter, Jermaine Kearse, who stepped in at over 10 targets, had a big week. And in years past, given Sam Darnold was not there, he was that PPR gold with in the past of Josh McCown. Do you look to go to a guy like Kearse on your waiver wire this week?
I do. In a couple of my leagues that are kind of larger leagues, he's probably the best available option for me out there. And I think that he's going to be the best available option for a lot of people. I feel comfortable with him, in that role. And I feel comfortable. I mean, we've seen it before from him, and I think that he can come into the situation and make the best of it. So, I think I would actually, if you really were in need of a wide receiver for this week, especially, I'd just go out and try to get a hold of him off your waivers.
And I'll do this as we start talking with more and more guys, but I'll start comparing guys for free agent ideas for the week. Would you rather have a Jermaine Kearse or a Chester Rogers?
I think I'd rather have Kearse because I think he's going to get Anunua's share of the targets. I don't know. It was just 1 week of seeing him burst out like that, but I don't know. I think I feel more comfortable with him.
I agree with you there. What about Jermaine Kearse or Chris Godwin of Tampa Bay?
You're making me think here. I think I'd probably still go Kearse.
Yeah, I think he's in for a really good role. I think he's going to slide right into that Quincy role like you said.
Yeah, so here's hoping.
Yeah, here's hoping, exactly. Houston Texans, mm-hmm. Will Fuller, you know, at first glance looks like he had a really bad week, and for fantasy purposes he did, but when you dig into the advanced metrics of things, he actually got his share of what you're looking for from Will Fuller. It just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I've heard actually some big time fantasy people, because I'm not one of them, but I've heard some actually say in the right situation you can drop Will Fuller, which I think is a little surprising. But how do you feel about Will Fuller right now? Because he's basically split what he was his role with Kiki Kuti.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't drop him right now. Again, I'm not one of those big fantasy guys either. But we're gonna agree there. I don't think the time is to panic right now. You know, yes, Kiki Kuti is there, and he looked good in Fuller's absence. And now that they're both there, it's kind of like now we've kind of got to share duties. But I think that he'll get his. Kiki will get his. He's just having a little bit of a rough patch right now. But I wouldn't panic right now.
Yeah, because to be fair, Kiki didn't have a huge week either last week.
Yeah, you know? He didn't either. So, like, yeah. I mean, if you combine them both together,
it would have been beautiful.
They would have been one nice wide receiver.
For us, it would have been great. Yeah, it will be interesting to see. And hopefully they get that O-line figured out, because it's hard for Watson to go deep when he can't stand up. So that's a problem. Now, I've watched your tweets, not like in a stalking format. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. I've seen your Twitter feed, and I know you're a Cowboys fan.
That's correct.
We're talking Dallas Cowboys this time around. And in the preseason, people were raving about Dak being, you know, underrated and pretty good. Started out the year a little sketch. Last couple weeks, much better, especially last week. Do we think Dak is actually back, or is this just kind of a situational thing?
Dak is back if they let him run. And you know, I've been probably the biggest hater on Dak, partially because of my love for Tony Romo, partially just because we had that 2016 season where he looked amazing, and then he's just not been up to that standard ever since. If they let him air it out to Beasley, if they let him get it to Jeff Swaim, you know, if they can continue to do the things, if the coaching staff can get it together and continue, because it's like, we're at home, we do awesome. We're on the road, let's suck. Like, I went to the Houston game when they played Houston and went into overtime, and I was like, me and all the Houston fans sitting next to me were like, both of our teams suck. So, like, if they can get it together, then yeah, Dak will be back, but if he can't, if they revert back to same old, throwing it over Cole Beasley's head when Cole Beasley's 5'6" and he's not 8 feet tall, then, you know.
That was my next question with him, because I agree, Dak needs to run. It is really weird with, well, Jason Garrett's play calling has been bizarre forever. Yeah. But that's another topic for another day. Cole Beasley gets his last week, and it seemed like, you know, you listen to all the pregame stuff or preseason stuff, and Dak and Cole had a rapport. They liked each other a lot. It seemed like coming into the season that Cole could be kind of that, you know, later round flyer in a PPR league. Then it really never materialized. But again, we kind of go back to it really hasn't materialized for the offense this year. Yeah. We just saw what he did. Obviously, he had a very nice week against the Jags defense. It's still pretty good. Is this something that, going forward, we might be seeing more often, or are you still back to what's Jason Garrett going to do on a week-to-week basis?
If they're smart, it'll be a thing that we see going forward. Prior to the season, I wrote an article about how I thought Cole Beasley was going to be the number one guy there and a late-round flyer, you know, and I have him still on some of my rosters. I started him last week because of bye weeks, and it worked out well for me, but that's it hasn't worked out other times that you plug him into your lineup. But they have a really good rapport. And in 2016, you saw how Cole Beasley went from this guy who was just kind of like mediocre to like this crazy talent on the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, that was that whole season with Dak and, you know, Dak being the amazing quarterback. So if he can continue to hit Cole Beasley and Cole Beasley can continue to use his speed, I think it's going to be a thing. I think it'll be a thing. I don't think I think Jason Garrett knows that he's coaching for his job. There was this whole rumor that he was going to get an extension soon. And then Jerry Jones was like, no, I never said that. And the reporter who's saying that, I would never, you know, I respect the reporter who said that, but I've never told anybody that. And you can't trust Jerry Jones that much. But Jerry Jones did say last week that Dak was going to get to run the ball more. And we saw what happened. So maybe he's coming around. And so we'll see.
That would be nice if that was the case. Just for fun, kind of an off the topic question here, but it involves the Cowboys.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on with Dez Bryant right now?
Dez Bryant, in my opinion, is living the good life. And he keeps saying that he's going to sign soon. He's going to sign soon. And it's all in his court. And it's all in his court. I think that's just for him to save face. I think he's living the good life. And, you know, more power to him, whatever. You got the money and you got the time. And you want to sit there and you want to spout out things during games every weekend. And more power to you, dude. You know, I was the type of person who really wanted him to stay with the Cowboys. And I understand everything that was going on and that he hasn't been his same old self for a while. But I think he's living a good life.
He's got the money to do it. That's for darn sure.
He's hopefully. I mean, who knows? He could go out and buy another monkey named Dallas. And he's got like six other ones in the bag, but for now
that could be a problem. Let's go to South Beach. The Miami Dolphins shocked.
Yeah,
I'm a Dolphins fan, and they shocked me. I literally thought that was going to be a butt kicking up and down the field.
Oh yeah,
I didn't even really care about tuning into the game, and they got it done because apparently it's Brocktober, which when I saw he was starting, I wanted to just vomit. But he's 3-0 in his career against the Bears, so that's good.
Sadly,
I think he's better than Tannehill.
Yeah.
But Albert Wilson had a big game. He's had a couple big games. He's kind of a boomer busty type guy. But he's also one of the top options in their offense. So are we looking at Albert Wilson, or is he another one of those kind of, I don't know, guys?
I mean, you can keep it. You can keep your eye on him. You can put your feelers out for him. You could probably keep him on your bench and hold off a little bit to see how the quarterback situation plays out and how the targets go and how, you know, everything. I was, you know, big on Kenny Stills going into the season. And now we've got this whole bird alert thing going on. you know, and I like it. I like Albert Wilson. And I think the change of scenery has been good for him. And, you know, with Brocktober and everything that we're talking about here, you know, I think he had to step his game up. He's like, I got the opportunity and now I need to step it up. They had that whole statistic about Dak versus, you know, Brock and how their numbers have all been similar. So they both decided to have really big games last weekend. So Albert Wilson's probably a guy to just keep your feelers out on.
Would you rather have Chester Rogers or Albert Wilson?
I think I'd rather have Chester Rogers. Because I like Luck better than I like the quarterback situation.
That's very fair. That's very, very fair. In Miami, also, the running back situation is kind of a mess. Frank Gore, Kenyon Drake, do you care about any one of those guys?
Okay. Frank Gore. Frank Gore has been probably everybody's favorite guy for the last 27 years.
Seems he's been like in the a NFL. Great person.
Yeah, every year he seems to like roll back time and do his thing. I still have him rostered on a couple of my lineups. Like, you know, I took him at the lot with like a last pick and haven't been able to drop him because I'm like, there's not really that much out there to drop him for. And now he's surprisingly getting work that no one could have expected. You might want to just keep an eye on him. I mean, you could be like me and just keep him on your bench for a little bit. And then if you're in a dire situation where it's play him or play a guy who is injured or something like that, of course you're going to play Frank Gore. He just looks he's 35 or whatever, and he looks like, you know, some of these younger guys out there, which is crazy to me. He's not, he doesn't have the same step that he used to, but dude's a beast. So just kind of one of those guys that you're not going to start him every week, but if you have to plug him in, put him in your flex and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that he's actually producing the way he's producing. I'm flabbergasted because I love Kenyon Drake coming in this year. I have no idea what the heck's going on down there. I have zero clue.
Isn't that how it is with the Dolphins coaching situation anyway? They don't know how to use their running backs. Yeah,
the worst part was coming into the season is Adam Gase flat out says we want Kenyon Drake to carry it so many times to get so many yards. And then that was the worst set of coach speak I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
I was like, what are you saying? We don't understand a word you're saying. Just stop talking.
Yeah, really, really bad stuff. Just put your phone off and walk away. Chicago Bears, the opponents in that game. Mm-hmm. Jordan Howard is not good at the moment because his workload, Grant Barfield tweeted out today, like his decrease in percentage of snaps, like week and week and week. And Tariq Cohen is popping off in back-to-back weeks. He's got that explosive ability. Do you play either one of these guys? Are you terrified when you play them? How do you feel on this backfield?
You know, it's like everybody's high on Jordan Howard. He gets the touches. He gets the runs. And then right after that, now everybody's high on Cohen. It's like it's a back and forth kind of this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. People were just talking about dropping Cohen just a few weeks ago, you know, and now he has these big games and he's out there. I really wish that they could use them both effectively, but they're choosing not to do so because I feel like they both have a specific role in that offense. If you would just sit there and actually do it the way it needs to be done instead of trying to like screw everybody over. I liked Howard going into the season. I drafted him a lot of places. I have him in a lot of best ball leagues. He's talented. He is talented. You can't sit there and say he's not. And Cohen the same way. I feel like he's a talented guy too, but I've always been higher on Howard. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those things where it goes back to Howard being the guy and Cohen's the guy who's just there to, you know, plug in every now and then. So that situation scares me right now. I tried to trade for Howard a couple weeks ago in a couple of leagues, and then I kind of got excited when those trade offers got rejected. so
it's
I don't
know how that works.
It's funny how that works. You know, I'm like, but I mean, that's when you want to just take these coaching situations and just be like, dude, what are you doing? They're both talented guys and you're not using them to their full potential. And if I was Howard, I'd be upset. But whatever. I'm not Howard. I'm just some chick who sits behind a computer and spits out stupid knowledge that doesn't make any sense. So
well, it makes sense. They just try to make it look like it doesn't make sense.
You know.
That's what they do.
We're trying.
Yeah, we're trying. And I was big on Jordan Howard as well. Another coach speak thing was that went south. He was supposed to be the guy. And I like Terry Cohen. I think what you said is really good is that they should find a way to use them both. There's no reason you can't. You know, you see a kind of a speedy scat back like Ty Montgomery get out there when they're still a real running back. The team I compare it to the most is the Chargers did it beautifully this last weekend. There were a ton of snaps where Gordon and Eckler were on the field at the same time. Like they were both. It can be done with two talented running backs, and it just makes the defenses like head go that much crazier when you have all these different options to play with and your linebackers aren't there. Yeah, so on and so forth. But, it would be really interesting if you had to, and this is kind of just off the wall question. If you had to have just one of these two for the rest of the year, Cohen or Howard, which one would you want?
I'd probably want. I almost said Howard and now I'm like, would I? If they could use Howard and Cohen the right way, I'm in a lot of PPR leagues and I would love to have Cohen, but I think Howard just because he was the guy, he was the talk, you know, the talk of the town, the guy that was supposed to be the guy. And I have faith that he can get back to that if they just allow him to do that. Just allow him to do that.
Yeah, the weird thing is I'm still trusting the Howard side of it just for the fact, if you look at the, like, the snap counts and the actual touches, Cohen did it last week, I think, on 12 touches. So he just went off and takes advantage of it. That's his explosive. But there's so many games you'll see explosive nature like that, and 12 goes for like 35 yards and nothing. So it's tough. It's really, really tough. And it's hard to drop a guy like Howard, who you picked up in like third round or something, second round. The receiving situation, there's only three real receivers there, which is nice. Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson, and Taylor Gabriel, who great week before the bye when Anthony Miller was out. Anthony Miller's back. Gabriel goes off again. Are we believing in Taylor Gabriel as a pretty viable, maybe wide receiver two-ish guy?
I am. I have a feeling about him. I know that's not anything statistically sound here to be like, I have a feeling in him, but,
that's the best analysis, though. That's what I've only in recent years tried to incorporate stats. I was always I watch games, I do this, and you can learn a lot by doing that. So
I look at the guys and I'm like, you know what? You look good out there. And And you also get this personal thing. Like, I met him at the fantasy football convention, and he was like the nicest guy. And I'm like, that makes you want to root for, you want to root for a guy. It's like going to see a band and then they come out afterwards and you get to take a picture with them. It's the same thing. You know, then you like that person or those people more. I think he's talented, and I think that, in that Chicago with the quarterback play there, you've got to have these guys that you can rely on. And I think he's one of those guys that Trubisky can rely on, get the ball to, and hopefully, he'll continue to be that second guy that you can count on. I grabbed him in a few leagues. I know I keep saying that about all these guys, but you kind of have to and just hope for the best.
Yeah, I like Taylor Gabriel quite a bit. I think there's a lot to like there. And their offense, it seems to be expanding more with Trubisky and everything. I think there's a lot to like there. Baltimore Ravens, their situation has gotten interesting. John Brown was the guy early on. In the last couple weeks, it's really slowed down. And you're seeing two guys burst onto the scene. One, Willie Snead. Take that with a grain of salt, however you choose. But Michael Crabtree has legit interest here. As the last three or four weeks, it's continued to grow. In the last 2 weeks, he's done really, really well. He's been the most targeted guy on the Ravens. He's almost, now if you look full season number, he's almost matched up with John Brown. It seems like Flacco's got a real interest in Crabtree. And I don't know if you saw the picture. I don't remember who tweeted it out. I should have saved it. It was at the press conference after the game, and Crabtree's at the podium, still just, got his undershirt on and his eye black still on. And Flacco's in the corner just looking at him with dreamy eyes. And someone captioned it, "I wish I liked something as much as Joe Flacco likes Michael Crabtree." So,
amen.
What's your thoughts on Crabtree? And if you want Willie Snead too, but I can't trust Willie Snead.
No, you've tried to trust Willie Snead multiple times in the past, and it's always one game here is great, and then you get four or five games that just break your heart. With Crabtree, he's kind of been there before. He's been that guy. He's been the flashy guy, the guy that, Derek Carr would target. He's been the guy that, has made those big plays. And I think Joe Flacco can see that in him. And Joe Flacco's not having a horrible season. And that's in part to knowing who he can throw that ball to that's going to help out the offense. And Crabtree is his little go-to man. So I like him. I wouldn't mind having him on my team. I wouldn't mind if he's out there getting him. If he's not out there, maybe even trying to trade for him just to have that extra insurance at wide receiver. Like we've been stating, there are multiple wide receivers out there that have been doing awesome, but I really like the athleticism of Crabtree, and I really like the connection that he and Joe Flacco have.
Hey, let's have some fun with this one. Crabtree or Chester Rogers?
Crabtree.
Crabtree or Jermaine Kearse?
Jermaine Kearse.
All right, so this is kind of where we're standing right now. We have Kearse, then Rogers, then Godwin. Does that kind of sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds I would put all of them in the same clump, but if I needed to put them in an order, that'd probably be the order that I would put them in.
Okay, I like that. Definitely some things to go for there. When we're talking running backs, Ito Smith, we already talked about being out there. Rashad Penny is an option. You got the likes of maybe a Ronald Jones or a Peyton Barber, probably Peyton Barber, Marlon Mack. How do you kind of look at that grouping? Like, who do you prefer to go with? Like, go for in those like three or four?
I think I prefer to try to take a shot on Ito Smith just because you know exactly what you're getting with when you go for Ito Smith. All of those guys are, you know, a toss up like we've been saying, but also, you know, worth if you can get them for cheap or you can get them for a decent, don't go out and get crazy with it. But out of all of those guys, I think Ito Smith, in my opinion, has the more set in role. So you don't have to feel as uncomfortable about starting him every week.
All right. So that kind of covers our running backs and wide receivers for week 7. Let's talk quarterbacks. And, you know, there will be some out on the waiver wires for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Just surprised.
Heck, Andrew Luck was on a couple of my leagues. I was really surprised by that. But
Some people dropped him.
Like the two leagues he was available, I had Pat Mahomes. I'm like, okay, well,
yeah,
I can't do anything there. That really sucks. But if you're looking to stream quarterbacks this week, there could be a ton of different options. People are going to unfortunately say Eli Manning, which I can't stomach. But there will be a lot of different options out there. What are kind of just top of your head? We don't have to look into the numbers. Kind of middle packed guys that you look to target this week.
Okay. I have to write a quarterback streaming article soon, and I have a list of guys that I'm like, all of these make me want to throw up. Yeah, I have them written down, but they're not up here anymore, so we're just going to have to like go off the top of my head, and I've been drinking, so let's see if I can remember. Let's see if I can remember who I have. So Mitchell Trubisky is one of them. I don't trust him that much, and I'm not sure I trust him too much this week, but, I mean, the last two games have – looked non-Trubisky-ish. So, you know, I don't know if he can continue that into a third week of being pretty decent, but he's one guy. Baker Mayfield's a guy that I think is due something. Like, he's been good. He's a rookie. He's prone to the turnovers, but give him a minute to kind of just calm it down. He's got a lot of weapons, like we were talking about earlier. If, you know, Callaway can catch balls, that would be helpful. Duke Johnson's getting more involved. David Njoku is my tight end love. Yes. So that's another guy. I think Dak, if he can run, if they allow him, if I know they're playing the Redskins and I know that they're not at home and I know that them not being at home is an issue. But if you were in a deeper league or a two quarterback league, I even just traded to get him in Dynasty. If you can just, take a shot on him. He's a guy. Always your Daltons and Flaccos are always those guys. Their numbers are rising a little bit as it, you know, progresses. Cause for the last 3 or 4 weeks I've been writing about them, but, those are the guys I can think of off the top of my head. I feel like there's maybe one or two more guys out there, but that's kind of a toss up too when it comes to those guys.
Oh, definitely. And I like it. You know, you got Trubisky versus the Patriots at home in Chicago. Baker against Tampa Bay is always very nice.
Yeah.
Dak against the Redskins, like you mentioned. But I think Flacco versus New Orleans, like you said, is also a very, very good one. Mm-hmm. And if Dalton's out there at Kansas City, obviously good. So, yeah, all really good targets. And most of those should be available in league.
Yeah.
So a lot to like there. We mentioned tight ends garbage, and I want people to read your article anyway, so I don't want to bring those up. I want them to go to fightingchance.com, fightingchancefantasy.com.
Yes.
Go check those out.
Yeah, just posted that about – an hour ago. So yeah, you guys can go check that out.
Yeah, go check that out. Click, click, click. And then defensive wise, I'm a fan of streaming defenses. Off the top of my head, the one I'm trying to add everywhere tonight on waiver wires is the Indianapolis Colts at home against I throw pick sixes Peterman. Is there anybody that's off the top of your head, or are you just kind of winging it on the defensive side of things?
I like the Colts. That was it. I'm writing a defensive streamer article too, and I do not have that in front of me.
It's all good.
And like I said, I've been drinking. So the one thing that I was thinking, I know the Bills have actually been surprising if you look at their numbers, they've actually been a lot better at defense than you would expect. Same for the Cowboys. They've actually been pretty decent. There are some guys out there. There are some teams out there. I feel like the last couple of weeks, though, streaming defense has been one of those things where it's like, really, that happened? And I held on to the Chicago Bears through the bye and into last week, and that didn't work out too well for me. So take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but I'd hang on to them. I think that's going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah, they're still there. They're still there.
Those guys are going to be just fine.
Oh, I think also the Packers maybe could be a...
The Packers are on bye week this week.
Yeah, but if you hold on to them,
I would see it. Yes. Probably. Gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. But no, I have on the one league where we don't do $0 bids. So I only have $3 left. No. So I kind of just have to hold on to them. Yes. Do not do that, guys. Yeah, do not do that.
No, the people.
Let me pick people up and let me pick people up after the fact. Just.
Yeah, don't ruin leagues, people. So, yes, I agree. Colts is one I'm looking at. Dallas, I used last week against the Jags.
And that was good.
Yeah, so there's a bunch out there. I think Arizona on Thursday night against Denver could be very interesting.
Yes, I like that. That was actually on the list.
There you go. I think that's a sneaky one. because everyone thinks Keenum and, you know, Sanders and company. But Arizona at home could be nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think we covered pretty much everything, Casey. Any final thoughts on week 6 going into week 7? I was going to ask you about Raheem Mostert, but I probably can't even pronounce his name correctly, so I don't even want to talk about him.
I had a Google on when you asked because I was like,
Well, no, because I live in California. Yeah. I have tons of friends that are Niners fans. I root for the Niners. I was out at dinner last night. I checked my phone and looked at the stats to kind of see how the Morris Breida thing was going. And I literally on Yahoo, it said R. Mostert. I'm like, who the heck is this? So I click on his name. It says, I had no clue. I had to ask all my buddies about who the heck this guy was. He's a special teams player he's fast.
And I like that. I mean, whatever you get. I mean, that's why the Cowboys got Tavon Austin, who's going to be out this week. He's not playing, so they got to kind of figure that out. In my Dynasty League, because I'm only in one, so my first year, and I had a spot available. After you sent me that, I went and looked it up, and I was like, I could take a flyer on that, and if it doesn't work out, there's whatever, you know. So, because it's so crazy this year, it's just so crazy. I picked the right year to start writing.
Yeah, no, it was very, very crazy. Well, let's wrap it up on that one, everyone. Go check out Casey's work at FightingChanceFantasy.com. She's on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem with a K and a K. So go check all that out. And this was a lot of fun. I really thank you for joining me. Again sometime.
It was great. I appreciate you letting me come on.
Yeah, no, anytime. Good people over at Fighting Chance Fantasy wanted to get you on and see what you got going on. And I appreciate all the breaking down the week 6 action.
Well, thank you.
All right, everybody. This is Bench with Bubba, episode 127. Catch you guys later.
Later.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.